Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, March 24th. I'm Carol Gold, and yes, welcome to Think for Yourself. I'm reading a very interesting book called The 5,000 Year Leap. It's written by a man named Cleon Skousen, I think is the pronunciation of his last name. And the reason it's interesting, it's because it's the history of the United States beginning with the founders. And it's done in a way that, unlike most history books, which are tedious and require a particular interest in history in order to enjoy them, this reads a bit like a novel. And so it's very interesting. It's very educational. But what jumped out at me was something I read the other day that leads me into today's show. And what I read is a quote by Benjamin Franklin, and I'm just going to read it briefly to set the stage for where the show is going today. Here's the quote. "I am apprehensive, therefore, perhaps too apprehensive, that the government of these states may, in future times, end in a monarchy. But this catastrophe, I think, may be long delayed if, in our proposed system, we do not sow the seeds of contention, faction, and tumult by making our posts of honor places of profit." Boy, did that jump out at me. By making our places of honor places of profit. And it got me thinking about the wealth that our politicians seem to gain after they've been in public office, regardless of how they were when they got there, regardless of what their finances were on the way in. And I did a quick search and I came up with three. Donald Trump went into office with about $4.5 billion in worth. He left office with $3.5 billion. So he lost allegedly a billion in worth. Barack Obama went into office with a net worth of $3 million. He left office and now is worth $40 plus million, I guess is the better way to say it. He left office 40 plus million richer. Bill and Hillary Clinton went into office with a net worth of $480,000. They are now worth over $100 million. So when I thought about what Franklin said and about how wealthy politicians get, you don't just have to be in the presidency. More than half of the people in Congress currently are millionaires. In fact, the top 10% of the wealthiest lawmakers have three times more wealth than the bottom 90%. And most telling of all is that the group of wealthiest members of Congress include, no surprise to you, I'm sure, career politicians who boosted their portfolios over decades in Congress. Now, that's not shocking, right? Because they know what's coming. They vote on what's coming. They have fundamentally what it would normally be considered on Wall Street insider information. And they get phenomenally wealthy. So I was thinking about something that happened to me decades ago. I used to spend time in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill through AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. And I used to meet with congressmen and senators to advocate for pro-Israel issues that were also pro-U.S. issues combined. Because I had founded, first I was part of a political action committee, and then I founded my own or co-founded my own with two other friends at the time. And so we often met with congressmen and senators. And I remember a particular meeting I had with the then freshman congressman from Wyoming, Ron Wyden. Ron is now the senior senator from Wyoming, but at the time he was a freshman congressman. And at the end of my meeting with him, he said to me, "When are you going to run?" And I said, "Run for what?" And he said, "For office in Pennsylvania." At the time, I was a Democrat. I was a registered Democrat back then. And he said, "Run for office in Pennsylvania." And I was stunned. I don't even think I answered him. At which point he followed up with, "Well, when you make the decision, you'll have the backing of the party." And I left, and of course my ego, my head was so swollen, I don't know how I got out the door, right? It was amazing. And so when I got back to Pennsylvania, back to suburban Philadelphia where I lived at the time, I called my father and I asked him to meet me for lunch, and he did. At that lunch, I told him exactly what I just told you. And I said, "Dad, what should I do?" And he said, "Carol, when you are independently wealthy and you don't need the salary of a congressperson, you can run for political office. Until then, you can't afford to, because you will be subject to and seduced by every gift, by every perk, by every opportunity to enrich yourself with information you shouldn't otherwise have." And I thought it was some of the best advice he had ever given me. And I was thinking about, in light of this, in light of how wealthy our politicians become and where we are politically, where we are as a nation, the chaos that we're in every direction that we look. And recently, a friend sent me a link to a compilation of a skit that Jay Leno used to do. He used to go out onto the street with a microphone, and I forget what that, I think it's like the man in the street kind of thing, and he would ask young people questions, the kinds of questions you would expect young adults to know the answer to. And they were incredibly clueless. They didn't know some of the most basic things about this country, about our history, about our leaders, about fundamental principles of freedom and liberty and the U.S. Constitution. And I laughed when I watched it. Ami Horowitz does something similar to this day. He goes out and he does those on-campus inquiries and gets these crazy answers that these students and these young people actually think are the best answer they can give. And I thought how all of this is no longer funny. It's just not funny because of the danger of being that ignorant. You know, Thomas Jefferson said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." I have a friend who I've been doing land-based radio and podcasting and public speaking for decades. And I have a friend who always used to say to me, "You know, Carol, you have to dumb it down." And I used to say to her, "No, they have to step up. I'm not going to dumb it down. I can't help it if that's the level I talk at and that's the depth of knowledge that I have. I'm not going to dumb it down. I'm not going to find the least or the lowest common denominator. I want people to stretch. I want them to think and to question for themselves, to, as this podcast is called, think for themselves. And if you don't ask someone to stretch beyond what they already know and information and knowledge they already have, then they're never going to be any better than they already are. And life is about growth and expansion. It's not about stagnation. So, dumb it down, no. But we've got a populace that's pretty dumbed down. Which is why, you know, the other thing I read in the book is, when the founders were debating on voting on how to create the process for electing the president of the United States, they debated the process and they took 60 ballots before they finally concurred on what the process should be for electing the president of the United States. 60 ballots to determine one process. Now, Congress passes a 2,000 plus page bill, most recently the $1.9 trillion Save America Act bill, without ever reading one word of it. That's right. Congress people vote on it without ever reading a word. Why? Because it's put together in committee by the elite, by Pelosi and Schumer and Mitch McConnell on the Senate side. They put it together in committee, they cut deals, they make their own negotiations, and then they print it up and disperse it to the Congress members at large, who get no time to vote on what happens with $1.9 trillion and it gets passed. 60 ballots for the founders to agree upon and discuss first how to create a single process. But we just blew away at $1.9 trillion without Congress people even getting a chance to read the bill. So what do we do? Well, I'll give you an example, because I believe it's all about personal responsibility at this point. I believe we are all liable now to be personally responsible for what we do in our own lives. This morning, I was listening to an interview on radio, and a bill was mentioned that is about to be before the Texas legislature. The Texas legislature, in case you don't know, meets only every other year for 140 days. It's the only legislature in the country that still operates the way the founders intended state legislatures to operate and did in the early years of the nation. And the bill is a bill to keep the state of Texas as a sanctuary state for the Second Amendment, meaning they can't stop the federal government from gun seizing or from banning assault weapons or anything else that they plan to do now. But they can, within the state, pass a bill, becomes a law, that says that if any state agency or organization that receives state funding cooperates with the federal government in violating what is fundamentally our rights under the Second Amendment, that state funding will be withdrawn from that organization or that state agency. So what did I do when I heard it? I live in Texas. I want Texas to remain a Second Amendment state. I stopped what I was doing. I looked up, because I'm new to the area, the name of my state legislative representative. I called his office and I politely said to his aide who answered the phone, I would ask that the representative co-author Bill 2622, which is to keep Texas as a Second Amendment sanctuary state. He thanked me. I know that they log those in. I know they care what their constituents say. So long as we still have a democratic republic, so long as we still are free, calling your representatives, making your voice known to them, whether it's on the state level or the federal level, still matters. They need you to reelect them, so they need to listen to you when you speak up, but you need to do it in numbers, right? So then I sent out an email to everyone on my email list who lives in Texas, and I gave them a link to the bill so they could see it themselves. I gave them a link to how to find their legislative representative if they don't know who that is. And I said, please contact them today and ask them to co-author, because that's the strongest way to do it, to co-author House Bill 2622. I tell you that because I don't ask you to do anything I don't do myself. I believe that we are all now responsible for the future of this nation. And I believe that spiritually, we are all created not only equal, but we are created with the ability to sense what is ours to do, what is in front of us at any point in time, because that's what is ours to do. If there's a tsunami on the other side of the world, I can't do anything about it in the moment. But if there's a House bill in the state of Texas for which I can make my support known and I hear about it, that is mine to do. So, until we meet again, or until I'm here and you're listening to me again, which will be Friday the 26th, thank you for listening. I really appreciate your coming here. I hope it's encouraging, I hope it's enlightening, and I hope it's inspirational. And before I go, a quick reminder, my most recent book, The Questions God Will Ask, Prepping for the Final Exam, is on Amazon. It's probably a great read for now because it's a pathway and a process for tapping into your own inner guidance and following your own truth. And ultimately, as I like to say, thinking for yourself. Thanks again for joining me. I'm Carol Gold. Until next time, as always, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.